verse number 15, Diotrephes. And we said enough about him last week. But there's just, I want to talk with you about that spirit. The spirit of Diotrephes. Now, we're going to move on from him and get into Demetrius as we close out the book. And then I want to give you about five takeaways from this third epistle of John. Five things that I think that we should, now there's much more, but at least these five things I hope that we can take away from our study of this book. Now, what I'd like for you to do is let's stand to our feet, and I want to read verses 10, 9 and 10 about Diotrephes, and then we'll kind of navigate and move on through that and get down into the remaining verses and get to Demetrius and then some closing remarks that John made as he concluded the letter. Verse 9 and 10 says, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, and this is that spirit that I want to talk to you about, how we have to beware of this spirit. Now, upon first reading this and knowing something, a little something about it, we may be inclined to think, well, you know, that's not me. That's not my intention. I could never see myself in the role of a Diotrephes. But I want us to be reminded of something from the Scripture. I believe that we need to guard our hearts and our minds against all sin, all temptation. But the root of this man and anyone that wants the preeminence is pride. And pride is something that we all struggle with. And when we think that we don't, well, it's pride that causes us to think that we don't. And so we have to really be careful. So he said that this man, Diotrephes, he loveth. And by the way, that is a continuous word. It's not he loved in the past. It's not he loves in the present. He loveth. I mean, this man has built his life in his church affiliation on being number one, being Mr. Important, having the everything land on him and come back to him. You got to go through me attitude before it's going to be done. And so he said, he loveth to have the preeminence in verse number 9. And it says that he receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating, and that's a very interesting word. I like the word, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Now, this guy is bad news. Many years ago, I remember they would have a commercial, and I forgot even what company it was, and they would have this guy, and he would just be messing everything up, and then it would say, don't be Joe. You know, they'd have one guy, and he'd do everything, be doing everything right, and they'd say, you know what, in life, be Bob. And then they'd have this guy, and he'd be just fouling everything up. Don't be Joe. Now look at verse number 11 before we pray. This is exactly what John does. He said, be Gaius. Don't be Diotrephes. Don't be that guy. Look at verse 11. He said, beloved. And of course, I believe he's referring to Gaius, and that's because he calls him that continuously throughout this book. Follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, and he that doeth evil hath not seen God. And then he mentions Demetrius. And so fixed between that statement is he that's doing evil, and then Demetrius, as we shall see, was he that's doing good. And so I want to ask you, be that guy. Be that gal, okay? Be a Demetrius. Be someone with a good report. And it's in your hands to do it. The choice is ours. Be that person, all right? Let's look at some of the characteristics. We'll pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God. And I pray that you would help us as we study your Word. And God, you've laid some things on my heart, and I can't give it to the people without your help. You gave it to me, and now I'm asking you to give it through me to your people. I pray, God, we would be better Christians as a result of our study of your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. And so I began to think about this guy, the spirit of this Diotrephes. And I can't say that I've really, in my Christian experience, known many, if any, people like this. I mean, we all have kind of a strange way about us. We're all, you know, kind of different. This guy is bad news. I mean, this guy is defying and openly rebelling against John, the elder, the leadership, the authority. This guy is not only rebelling against John, he's lying against John. Look at the indictments that John brings against. Now, this is John, the beloved. Okay, now, I mentioned to you last week, he was also one of the sons of thunder. And I mean, John had some authority now, okay? And just please don't think these men, just because they handle certain things a certain way, sometimes people can mistake someone's kindness for weakness. And I'm asking you not to do that with John. John was not weak. As a matter of fact, I can hear it in John's voice in verse number 10 when he said, "Wherefore, if I come, don't make me have to come." Let's get this straightened out. It's not going to bode well for you if I have to make a trip. And I believe he's about serious. Listen, I just believe that the apostolic authority and the elder authority that John had, I just don't think he played games. We have some cowardly people that are in leadership, and it's not just in our churches, it's in our homes, it's in our government right up the road, it's in business. And I just got to tell you, cowards just don't make good leaders. And I'm not being mean. I'm just saying that if you're going to be a leader, you got to be strong, and you're going to have to be brave and courageous. Over and over again, God told Joshua, "Listen, if you're going to take my man Moses' place, you're going to have to be strong and courageous." Amen? And if you're going to lead people, if you're going to do the work of God, you're going to have some strength, some courage, and some backbone about you. You've got to confront some things. It's not all just laughing and enjoyable and everybody have a great time and we're all going to heaven together. You have to get down and deal with things. Now, I want to do it right, and I know you do as well. And so let's look at what happens here. He said, now this man, look what he said in verse number 10. He said, "I will remember his deeds." And here's what he was doing. He said, first of all, he was prating. That's an interesting word. All right. That word just means vain, empty, foolish talking. Just rambling on, muttering on about a bunch of nothing. Just making up stuff. Just trying to find fault, trying to gather a following. And he said, he's prating against us. John said, the man is accusing, and that word prating has an accusation involvement where he's just accusing John of things that are not so. And he said, against us with malicious words. He's just talking down the man of God, talking down the servant of God. Because when you have when you have no reverence for God himself, you're certainly not going to have any reverence for God's servants. And so this man, he loved to have the preeminence. And because of that, he had no fear of speaking against God's servants. And so that was the first indictment. Look at what else he said in verse number 10. "And not content therewith," as if that wasn't enough. That's a serious enough thing as it is, he said. But he's not content just with that. And brethren, it is a serious thing to talk against God's servants. And we have to be really careful. You say, well, I disagree with some of them. I do too. But I want to be careful. Now, if they are in apostasy, if they're into false teaching, I believe the Bible says if when the time is right, it's okay, call them out. Do it in the right spirit, right? That's right. But now that's not what's going on here. Here's a person that's trying to just run people's lives and he's trying to gather a following. He's trying to turn people against God's man, John. And he said here, he did it with malicious words, and not content therewith, now, that's not enough, that he did this, neither doth he himself receive the brethren. And so we studied where they were preachers coming into town, and the church was going to have them in, and maybe they were going to minister to them, and Gaius was helping them out. I hope that you'll go home and read verses 5 through 8 again. It is just tremendous how this man loved God's servants. You know, I was thinking about it when I was looking over this since last Wednesday. I've spent a little time looking over this letter here. I just believe that one of the reasons that God has blessed this church the way God has blessed it is this right here. We as a church have taken care of God's servants. You have been very good to me. And I mean, far better than I deserve. And when God's servants come through here, Fellowship Baptist Church puts a good foot forward to be good to God's servants. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that's what we ought to do. Notice, if you would, in verse number 5, he said, "Beloved," and he's speaking of Gaius, "thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers." You're just a good guy. You're just always looking to help people. But he got more specific in verse number 6. He said, "Whom, if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well." In other words, you're helping get them to you. You're kind of paying their way. And here's why. Look at verse number 7. He said, "Because that for his name's sake," they're doing it for God. Right? His name. This is not about, it's not about a name. It is about the name. His name. Right? You take care of people that are working in his name, and God will take care of you. I believe that with all of my heart. I've tried to practice it. I was weaned on that. I was bottle fed on that as a spiritual babe in Christ. And when you do that, God will take care of you. As a matter of fact, it's a promise in Philippians when it's talking about, "My God shall supply all your need." That's not for everyone. It's not. It's for people that get involved in helping God's service, in particular missionaries. Is that right? Yes. And look how God has blessed us. Every time we meet as a staff, we pray a prayer of thanksgiving because God has given us more than enough. God's met every need we have, brethren. Every need. Now, sometimes God will let the well run dry so you'll learn what it is to depend on him. That's right. That doesn't mean God doesn't care and God's not meeting your need. What it does mean, however, is that God will allow a need to be presented so that we can still understand where our need is being met from or who it's being met from. And that's God. It's not us, right? It's not our ingenuity. It's not our leadership. It's not our intelligence. It's not our faith. Now, God gives us all of these things so that we can learn what it is to trust him so he can continue to meet our needs. And God has met every need we have. And I believe it's because of this right here. I believe this is a prime reason right here. Now, this Sunday, the Lord willing, we're going to have a missionary, a young missionary couple, Luke Coffey and his wife. And when they come, you know, be hospitable. And I know you will be. But every person in the church ought to go by and shake their hand. Listen, this young couple has given their life to serve Jesus. And so, you know, just show them kindness. You just never know what that would do to people when you just kind of reach out a little kindness. Could be a handshake, could be a smile, could be just, "Hey, good to have you with us today. How's your dad doing? How's the family doing?" You know, just those kind of things can make all the difference sometimes. You just want to walk by somebody, you know. And I'm not saying this trying to pin something on me. I didn't know that was Brian Diggs sitting back there. But I did see him. And time got away from me. I had a few people approach me on the platform. And I said, "I'm not going to let that man that's visiting our church sit back there and without me going back there to tell him. I'm glad you're here tonight." And I looked at Calvin. I said, "Is this your friend?" He said, "That's Brian Diggs." I said, "Oh, okay. Hey, Brian, man, I didn't reckon." He said, I'm grown up." I said, "Boy, you have grown up." So anyway, he said in verse number 7, "Because that for his name's sake they went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles." Verse number 8, "We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth." He said, "Well, God hasn't called me to a mission field. Well, be kind to missionaries. God hasn't called me to preach. Well, be kind to preachers. God hasn't called me to be an evangelist. Well, you know what? Pray for God's servants. Be good to God's servants, and God will be good to you. Now, I'm telling you, brethren, that's a big deal. Now, obviously, Diotrephes didn't think it was a big deal. But I bet when John got through with him, and more importantly, when God got through with him, he thought it was a big deal then. Don't wait until God has to get involved to realize it's a big deal. And so he said that, number one, he undermined and he lied against me. And he made up stuff with malicious words and he accused me. Number two, neither doth he himself receive the brethren. He didn't want preachers. Listen, anybody that would challenge or threaten him, he didn't want anything to do with them. Because he wanted all the power. He wanted all the authority. He wanted the preeminence, you see. Then, he said the third thing that he did is he forbiddeth them that would. Not only did he not have anything in, as far as receiving the brethren, but he was going around trying to tell other people, you shouldn't like old so-and-so. You know, isn't that childish? That's childish. I can remember doing that when I was in like third grade. Some folks just need to grow up. If you don't like somebody, go to them and get it straightened out. Don't come to me. Try to get me not to like them. Amen. I'm not saying anyone here is that way, but I'm telling you, that spirit can get on you if you're not careful. And I'm going to show you in just a moment what I'm talking about. Then he says this, the fourth thing. He brought four major indictments against him. He said he's using malicious words. He's prating against us. He's lying. He's accusing us. Then he said the second thing he's doing is he's not receiving the brethren. And then he's forbidding them that would. He's going to others and saying, well, I don't like them. You shouldn't either. You've met people like that. Now, listen, I got to tell you, there's a spirit that can get on you to make you that way. It's got on me. And I've caught myself doing and saying things that's just not right. That's right. It's not right. And then he said this in the latter part of verse number 10. He said the fourth thing that he'd done, he's even casting people out of the church. Man, this guy, the arrogance of somebody. Do you see the spirit? Do you see where this kind of stuff leads? It's just somebody on some kind of power trip to think they control people's lives, control God's church. That's craziness. That is an antichrist spirit, brethren. And we have to guard our hearts and our minds against that. To think that we're so important that everything has to run through me first. Now, I believe in leadership, and I've already told you that. And there is a leader here, and you're looking at him, humanly speaking. I'm not afraid to lead. But I don't want to get on some power trip to where I think that I'm so important that it's got to be done a certain way, and I want things done decently in order. I want them done godly. But this thing of just suppressing people and ruling with an iron thumb and with a bitter spirit and with a spirit of hatefulness and control, brethren, that's not of God. That's not of God. We have to make room for other men's and women's gifts in the church. Amen. If God sent you here, he attached a gift or gifts with you to bring to minister here so we all could profit from it. I say it often, and it's not just about the singing and the music, but I appreciate those of you who play instruments and sing. But you know what? There's also people in this congregation that have the gift to teach. Some people are great encouragers. You've been given a gift. Some the gift of administrations. Some the gift of helps. You know that list. Find your gift and get involved and use it for the glory of God. Somebody say amen with me now. I tell you, that's when a church gets strong. That's when a church stays healthy. When everybody's using their gift to serve the same God. You want to get everybody on the same page? Get everybody serving the same God with the gifts that God has given them. Amen. That's where it's at, brethren. That's where it's at. You know, one of the reasons that churches are just dying on the vine and splitting and pastors leaving, it's this. There's power struggle in the church on who's going to be in charge. let me just set that record straight tonight. There's a God in heaven who's in charge right here. And if we'll all seek Him and the God-appointed leaders, if we'll stand beside them, doesn't mean we have to agree with everything. Pray for us, right? Pray for us. And if you don't agree with it, well, you know, pray with us. And let's communicate. But this thing, this Diotrephes character, he's bad news. He's bad news. And so the scripture said that this man, John said, when I come now, if I come, we're going to have to talk. And so I done this. I thought about some people, and I want you to do it with me. I'm just going to run through a few. I didn't realize that there were so many people. This is why Bible study is good. This is why the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's work to study the word of God. That's right. You say, well, I thought preachers just got up and opened their mouth and teachers and God filled it. Well, he does once you put it in your heart. Amen. You got to get it in for it to come out. And so I began to look through the scripture at people with this spirit. And there were so many. I'm just going to mention a few. See if you remember these characters. Every one of them ended tragically. Can I tell you, I believe this man did too. I just do. Now, I can't prove that. It's just people. This man had an extremely bad spirit. You guard your spirit now, brethren. I'm warning you tonight. You guard your spirit. There is a devil that wants to sour your spirit and make you bitter and cause you to get your eyes off of Jesus and get your eyes on some man or woman or family or situation, and your spirit will turn sour, and you'll sit in a church where the Bible's being preached, where there's great unity and fellowship, and there's great opportunity, and all you'll do is just be seething in bitterness and anger and jealousy and envy because you have that spirit of Diotrephes. You've let things creep in that don't belong in your spirit. I thought about Lamech. Remember Cain's grandson, Lamech? Remember, he was the first polygamist. Got him two wives and then went out and he got in a little scuffle and he killed a man. And he got his two wives together and he was boasting about it. Yeah, a man wounded me and I took him out. Teach you how to mess with old Lamech. You look at this man's life. Now, he is a tyrant and a murderer, just like his grandfather, Cain. And it didn't end well for him. Because people, listen, when you read, he said, now God, you know, if he protected Cain 70-fold, he's going to protect me 77-fold. God, I don't need God. I'll take care of myself. Let that fella come up and mess with me. I took him out. Read it sometime. Genesis chapter 4. That spirit right there. You move over to Genesis chapter 10 and you find another one. His name was Nimrod. Oh yeah, I remember that guy. He was a mighty hunter. Well, you need to look a little closer into what is being said there. He was a tyrant. He founded Babel. You can call it whatever you want. And when you look at what this man did, he was in rebellion against God. Nimrod. And he said, I'm my own God. I don't need God. I'm God. What was his problem, brethren? He loved the preeminence. He was rebellious. And it's just built in man, that rebellion to go against God. I looked at some others. I looked in Judges chapter 9 at a man by the name of Abimelech. Now, Abimelech was the half-breed son of Gideon. And when you read this, I'm telling you, what a coward. He went and he seized authority and he went to Shechem and they made him king. And he you talking about a murderer and a slanderer? It's amazing. He wanted to be it. I'm it. In the day that God was using judges, he said, I'm going to make myself a king. Yeah. A woman dropped a big boulder off of a tower and crushed his skull. And he was so full of pride. When he was laying there dying, you read this in Judges chapter 9. Very interesting. He called his armor bearer and said, hey, run me through with a sword. I don't want it to be known that a woman took me out. That's what he said. So full of himself, so full of pride, just wanting the preeminence. Abimelech. And then all of us remember Haman, don't we? Haman and Esther. Oh, boy, I mean, he just got all beside himself because Mordecai wouldn't bow. He just thought everybody ought to make obeisance to him. Everybody ought to bow down to me. Everybody ought to, you know, make much of me. See, that's the way the people that want the preeminence think. And when they don't, he was getting ready to exterminate all the Jews. So he went and built them a gallows. He said, we're going to take that Mordecai out. We're going to do something about this. God said, I'm going to show you what's going to happen. And you know how that story ended. He hung on his own gallows. See, this thing of wanting the preeminence and trying to rob God of his glory and trying to be, you know, it, all that, Mr. or Mrs. Important, it doesn't work out, brethren. We need to understand it's a humble spirit and a contrite heart. That's what God's looking for, right? Yes, and I know I'll speak. Listen, I'm just trying to remind us because I'm going somewhere with this. He said, well, I hope we'll get to Demetrius. Well, you know, we might. Nebuchadnezzar. I'm not going to go through these, okay? You know the story of Nebuchadnezzar. Boy, he was boasting about himself, I'm it. He look at this kingdom. You read about it. He said, I did this. He even said, with my own might and my own power, I did this. I'm it. I'm king. Bow down, you know. And God said, no, you're going to bow down. Actually, like an animal. And you're going to eat the grass of the field. That's right. Because you're not going to stand in the face of God and defy the God of heaven without consequences. And then it moves from that. I'll just go to this one because I'm going to give a couple more before we move on. Herod the king, you know, he thought, well, I'll just kill... And this was John's brother, James. I'll just kill James in Acts chapter 12. And what he found out to people like that, and he said, well, let me go ahead and arrest Peter. We'll just do away with him too. Well, you know what God did. The church made much prayer, and God set Peter free. Well, Herod was upset. I'm glad it's been a while since I read that account. I'm glad I read through it again. And old Herod then dressed himself in his royal apparel, and he then went out there and making this speech, and boy, I'm this, I'm that, and the people said, oh, it's the voice of God. And Herod was saying, that's right. God struck him down dead. He gave up the ghost, and worms were eating his flesh. That's right. You say, that's not very appetizing. I hadn't had my dinner yet. Well, hopefully by the time you do, you'll forget that part. But you remember, God doesn't take well. God doesn't take well to people who try to rob him of his glory. God will share his glory with no one. And here's a man that it said here in 3 John verse number 9 that he loveth to have the preeminence among the church. You know those Pharisees and scribes, wasn't they the same way? They walked around. You know what a phylactery is? You know what a phylactery, a little leather box, and they had their scripture in it, you know, and they'd walk around, oh, we're so spiritual, we're it. We're the ones. We're it. And they would put tassels on their garments that would hang low. We're devoted. And they'd love to have the chief seats in the synagogue. Read about it in Matthew 23. I mean, the Lord Jesus scathed them. You know why? Because they love to have the preeminence. You want to be important? Make yourself unimportant. You want to be first? Be last. Amen? That's what God said. You want to be exalted? Abase yourself. Humble yourself. That's what God's looking for, brethren. I'm talking to me. I'm talking to you. There's something in us. And you say, now, wait a minute now. These people are lost. They're religious. And, well, you know, remember John and James? The guy who's writing this. That John. Remember when mom went and said, you know what? When you come into your kingdom, can my one sit on one right hand and one on the left? And I showed you last week in Mark chapter 9 where all the disciples, I mean, they just wanted to be it. I want to be the top dog, right? I don't want to just be one of the 12. I want to be it. Well, they're not it. And we're not either. And Diotrephes wasn't either. He just thought he was. And when we think we're it, God, listen, when I stiffen up, God, I'm not pliable, and God can't work with me, brethren. See, I need to remain pliable, and I need to remain that clay in the potter's hand so that when God is working on me and God is doing something in my life, he can shape me the way he chooses to shape me. And he can shape you the way he chooses to shape you. See, that's the best way to live life. It just is. Now, here's a man that thought, I realize I'm preaching to people that, you know, I just don't see that in any of you. I don't. I hope you don't see it in me. But I will tell you what. If John and James can get concerned about who's it, I think Pastor Dale and Brother Devin could get concerned about who's it. I think you could get concerned about who's it. If people could walk with Jesus, and they did, those disciples, and get concerned about who was going to be the greatest among them, and they were, we have to guard our hearts. And that's a thought that God just really spoke to me when I was sitting at my desk the last several days. Be careful. Be careful. Right? Let us be careful. I want to move to verse number 11. Beloved, follow not that which is evil. I don't want to follow Diotrephes. He said, oh, preacher, I won't do that. Well, no, maybe. Maybe. We really don't know what we might do and not do. This old flesh is capable about anything. Amen. Now it is. And boy, I tell you, the Bible says, give no place to the devil. Isn't that what it says? Give no place to the devil. It doesn't take long for him to turn your life inside out and upside down. And so he said, now, beloved, he said, follow that, not that which is evil, but that which is good. And that's great advice. You say, well, that's just simple. Well, it's simple to say. But we need God's help to do it. Man, we're just bent toward sin. We're just bent toward things. We're just bent toward wanting attention and applause and commendation. We're just bent toward it. We kind of feed on it. And if we're not careful now, it'll be what we're living for. And that's a very shallow way to live life. I'd rather have God's blessing than man's applause. Amen. I would. And so he said, but now, he that doeth good in verse number 11 is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. And then he said, Demetrius. Now I'm going to talk about him for about maybe 5 or 10 minutes, and I'll be through. And we'll have some prayer. This man is a great example. I believe, now the Bible doesn't say, I believe that he was an itinerant preacher. And I believe that there's a strong possibility, and I've researched, could be the reason that John is writing Gaius. Now, I just want you to think about this. I'm not saying it's so. And I rarely do this. If it's not so, I don't even, you know, but I don't even get into it. But there's a reason God wrote Gaius, that John wrote Gaius this letter. He had written the church. Right? That's what it said. Verse number 9. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. John had written the church. But now, here in verse number 1, he's writing Gaius. Now, Gaius may have been one of those that wanted to bring those brethren in because he did want to bring them in. You can read that in verse 5, 6, and 7, John is commending Gaius. And he said, you're a good brother. You have a good heart. And he may be encouraging him. Don't you let what that Diotrephes said or done unto you. Don't you let that keep you from doing the right thing. You keep following that which is good. Don't you let that turn you to evil. And sometimes people can do that, brethren. Sometimes people get us all out of kilter and we just get unbalanced and we allow anger to settle in our heart and it just blocks out the blessing of God on our life. I'm here to tell you now, please hear me. They're not worth it. They're not worth it. No one or no thing is worth the power of God and the blessing of God on our lives. And I pray to God you get that tonight. The devil will use anything and anyone to try to rob us of God's blessing in our life. And it may be, I can't say, I know that Gaius was struggling. John just kept on encouraging him, and I believe there's a reason for this. Maybe he was one of those that was cast out. That's why maybe Demetrius took him the letter and said, I'm this man, right? I mean, it's possible. I'm this man. I brought you the letter instead of taking it to the church because that old Diotrephes, he won't receive it. And he won't receive me. But either way, Demetrius has some characteristics, and I want to name them. There's three things. I want you to see if you check these boxes. These are wonderful boxes. If you don't check these boxes, can I ask you to work on it for your sake? It's going to help you. It's going to help you be a good laborer for Jesus Christ. It's going to help me. We need to check these boxes. Now, let's see what they are. It's very important. There's three. The Bible says by the mouth of two or three witnesses, a matter may be established. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, an elder may be accepted. So listen to what he says here about this Demetrius. He said, now Demetrius, look at verse number 12. Here's the first thing. Hath a good report of all men. Now that's Demetrius. Demetrius, he's got a good spirit. It's what he's saying. He's got a good spirit. And he's just got a good report. He's kind to people. He's helpful. He loves God. He loves others. The Spirit of God's controlling his life. He's not walking in the flesh. He's walking in the Spirit. And so he's just got a good report. Now watch it now in verse number 12. He hath a good report of all. And that word men is in italics. It's just everyone. Men, women, families. Demetrius is a likable person. Now that doesn't mean he's a compromiser and he's a suck up. It just means, you know what, this guy's got a good spirit about him. Now number two, look what it says. Not only that, but, he says, and of the truth itself. Demetrius lives by the truth. That's why he's got a good report. Amen. That Demetrius is a scriptural man. He wants to live by the Bible. Now, I understand the Bible that was around then was very incomplete. Had the Old Testament. Maybe some of the New Testament autographs were available. Probably were. But the canon of Scripture hadn't been completed and closed at this time. But it still holds true. Demetrius was a man who lived by the Word. He was a man who wanted to do what was right. And so we ought to follow this right here, brethren. We ought to have a good report among people. Right? Live right. Live right. You're not going to be perfect, but live right. Do people right. Bills, pay your bills. Amen. Don't try to take somebody. Don't try to, pull one over and shaft someone. Now listen, do right. Be a Christian. Have a good report. Have a good name in the community. It's the right way. Number two, live by the truth. Is that what he said in verse number 12? He says he's got a good report and of the truth itself. This man lives by the Word. Let us live by the Word. Amen, church? And then third of all, he said this in verse number 12. And he said, yea, and we also bear record, and you know that our record is true. John said, now I'm telling you, this is a good man. Now when someone with the authority and the stature of John says he's a good man, that carries some weight. I wonder how many people with a little weight in the community thinks, I'm a good man. You're a good man. You're a good lady. You're a good family. Right? Our testimony is important. And that's what John is telling Gaius here about this man Demetrius. He said, he's a good guy, Gaius. Or Gaius. I keep wanting to call him Gaius. I wish I'd have never listened to Alexander Scorby. He's got my head now, amen. I'll get it right. I get to heaven, I'll get it right. Wouldn't it be something if I got to heaven and his name is Gaius? I believe I'd look Alexander Scorby up. That would be the only time I had it right over him, and I don't have it right. Okay, let's finish this before I get off. I'm going to chase a rabbit here in a minute. I'll be having conversations with people in heaven. Demetrius, good guy. You be a good guy. You be a good gal, right? Let's be good Christians, brethren. Let's have a good report. And then as we close, he said in verse number 13 and 14, he said, I had many things to write. And you know what? I have many more things I could say, but like John here, my time is out. He said, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee, but I trust I shall shortly come, I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. I like that. I just like it. John said, you know, I don't like this long distance stuff. I like to sit down maybe with a cup of Java and let's just talk face to face. Right? Let's just talk face to face. I like that face-to-face stuff. I like it. I think it's missing in our society. We just think a text settles everything. I'm for text. I'm not saying I'm against it, but I like face-to-face. I just like it. I think it's needful. I think it's helpful. And I pray to God that we never do away with it exclusively. I know that we've gotten other avenues of communication, but he said, I want to come to you shortly and see thee, speak with thee face to face. He said, peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Now, I want you to watch this now. Don't miss this. This closing is powerful. Our friends. It's obvious that Gaius and John had some mutual friends. He said, our friends salute thee. Look at how powerful this next statement is. Greet the friends by name. I wrote down five things, and I hope that this happened for you. As we study this book, I believe that God is telling me, I want you to know the truth and walk in the truth, and that's found in verse number 3. And I think God is telling you that. I want you to know the truth and walk in the truth. Look at verse 3. If you don't do it now, write it down. Please, please go home and look at that. The second thing I believe that God is telling us, be hospitable to those who are in ministry. That's verses 5 through 8. Receive them. Help them along the way. Be hospitable to them. The third thing, pattern your life after the good and godly example. Not the poor and evil example. Find you some good people. Find you some serious people. Find you some Christians who want to do right and pattern your life after them. Spend some time with those people. Amen? Amen. The fourth thing, be mindful of what others are going through. John wrote Gaius this letter, and he said, Gaius, I want you to know, I see what you're doing. And I'm proud of you. And he encouraged him. I believe the man was discouraged because of what was going on in the church. Listen, what was going on, what I read to you that Diotrephes is doing, that discouraged any church member. Casting people out of the church, causing division, strife. Pay attention. There's people hurting all around us. God, help me not to lose sight of that. They're all around us, brethren. People with needs. People that are hurting. And we have a great opportunity. And we have something Listen, this old book right here is like a healing balm. It's like the healing balm of Gilead. This old book right here, brethren, is good for what ails people. Amen? It just is. It just is. And then fifth and finally, take time to get to know others. Don't just shake people's hand on a run. I do it sometimes, and sometimes I walk away and I think that was just shallow. Greet the friends by name. Now, you know me, that really spoke to me. I have a terrible time with names. It's like God said, this one's specifically for you. Work on it. Quit talking about it and work on it. Get better. Right? Yeah, you say God talks to you that way? I'm glad he does. Listen, I'm not one of these that crumble. Coach me. Get in my face. Coach me. Amen? Coach me. Get with it with me. I'm being sincere. And I'm glad God deals with me that way. Now, God knows what we need. And I need it that way. You say, well, I think I'm going to try it with you that way. You're not God. But if you did, and you did it in love, I sure hope that I'd be man enough to say thank you. All right. I hope those five things were a help to you. I hope the book was a help to you. It was a help to me. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll take some prayer requests. Father, thank you for the word of God. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this letter. Small letter. Packed with spiritual truths. And I thank you for the way it's helped me. And I'm asking, Lord, that you would use some things that have been said in the previous few weeks to be a help to the church. Help us to have a good spirit. Help us to be mindful of the needs of others. Help us to spend time and get better acquainted with our church family and not just to run in circles of two and three. God, help us to enlarge our coast and to broaden our tent and to just meet and become more acquainted and in depth in our friendship with more of our church family. Help us to know the truth and walk in the truth. Help us, God, to do these things. We need your help. Thank you for the reminders of your word, the prodding of your Holy Spirit. And for all that is done, God, we will give you the honor, the glory, because you are worthy. You alone are worthy of the honor, the glory, the praise for what is accomplished in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to